The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we are confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Yay, Philippians 1:6. First up, motivation means the reason or reasons one has for acting or behaving in a particular way. And Christians are no different. So Paul talks about what motivates certain preachers. Next, we are put here for a purpose. And the question is, to what level are we willing to defend that purpose? The Apostle Paul makes a connection between what we're here for and how far we're willing to go to defend that purpose. And finally, we examine the reality that some people make it their life's work to agitate others. Think of the devil. Think of devil worshipers. Think of those who reject Jesus. Think of much of the media. Think of most politicians and other people who are just a bummer.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Got one today. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. How much more? A lot. You guys remember the cartoon Little Lotta? That much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You are welcome to chime in. You're welcome to call. You're welcome to text. Our call-in number, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. While you will be greeted by the wonderful and terrific T if you decide to call in. You can also text 214-210-8483. Nobody will greet you, but I will see it. 214-210-8483. That's for praise reports. That's for prayer requests. That is for pop questions to see what we can do. And that is also for trivia, as you know. And this first trivia, all I'm going to say is Dave is being a little sneaky in the first two trivias. Okay? Get ready. I'm being a little sneaky. Okay? That's all I'm gonna, that's your warning. That was your clue. Okay? All right. Here you go. First one. In what book of the Bible do we find the quotation, God helps those who help themselves? What book of the Bible is that quotation in? We have so many cool things that we're going to be talking about, by the way. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Not professional radio. How close? Not even, I don't even know if we can get on top of a thimble. That low. It might be we can't even clear a toothpick. That low. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Two things to tell you. One, in the next segment, in the beginning of the segment, I'm going to do something I've never done before. Ooh. And don't say you're going to look at the clock at 2:00 or 2:11 or something. No. I actually have something we do I've never done before. Number two, don't forget our trivia question. Just so much going on. Here's a trivia question. What book of the Bible do we find the quotation, God helps those who help themselves? Number three, I got two things I want to bring up, and then we'll get into our teaching, and I've got to be brief on both of these. I don't know if you are familiar with the FC Dallas soccer team. They have a star named Reggie Cannon, and he was very, very mad at the 3,000 people that showed up because many of the people, when all the soccer players took a knee, many of the people booed, okay? So here's the problem, okay, and then I'm going to give you the real solution, which is just genius. The problem is that the people booed, and Reggie thought that that was very disgusting, okay, and because of that, he was very mad because he wanted people to respect his opportunity and other players' opportunities to make a position known. Okay. All right. Let me grab this call, and then we'll come back into this story. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing very good. I'm blessed, and I always thank the good Lord for it.
Amen. Talk to me, my friend. Where is in the Bible do we find the quotation, "God helps those who help themselves"?
Well, it's not in that book, I don't think. I think it may be in another book, but
are correct, sir. It is not in the book. It is nowhere in the book. In fact, the exact opposite of truth. If God helped those who help themselves, then salvation wouldn't be necessary.
Yeah, amen. Amen. There's a lot of stuff. I used to have a Bible that had all them sayings that aren't in the Bible that everybody thinks is in the Bible, like cleanliness is next to godliness and all those things. But anyway, I don't have those anymore. Can't believe somebody stole my Bible right out of the church house.
Yeah.
My good Bible.
Well, that's the key. People keep changing, trying to alter the word or do stuff like that. That's another classic. Yeah. Cleanliness is again next to godliness. We actually did a tracer on that and went back to a school teacher. So it's really kind of funny. Not the Ben Franklin people that people think it was Ben Franklin. No, I was a school teacher. Anyway, we'll get back to that. But excellent job. Excellent way to open up the show. Good job, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, I'm with you on the creation of a new heaven and a new earth, not a regenerated one.
Yeah.
That everybody preaches.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm with you on that, brother. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we need a new one. We don't want a regen. We want a brand new. Brand new, folks. I don't want a used car that has no tires. I want a car that's new with tires. And an engine. Thank you. All right, so let me go back, and I won't take that much time. So Reggie Cannon was really mad at people, I guess. He was disgusted that people booed because they wanted everybody to respect their position of protest. Now, let me say something. People have in this country the opportunity and the right to protest, but the booing was also a protest. In other words, if the kneeling was a protest, why wasn't the booing a protest? In other words, weren't they both free speech? I just find it more amazing that when Tim Tebow bowed down, everybody did nothing but make fun of him, even though he just did it unto the Lord. I never quite figured out why everybody got mad. He would score a touchdown. He would give an acknowledgement to God, and then everybody got mad. It was like, okay, I just don't get it. But that's not why I wanted to start. This person's statement won the internet, and I cannot pass it up. It's just too funny. So all these people are commenting for and against, because that's what everybody does. Nobody changes anybody's mind on these kind of websites, right? Never happens. But one person wrote, "What is this soccer of which you speak of?" That, my friends, that won the internet, right? What is this soccer that you speak of? Isn't that funny? See, that's funny. You can laugh at that. That's a good line. All right, let's do our intro for our expository. Fire away.
Wow. 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 All I can say is wow. 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 All I can say is wow.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. It is true that some people, or some, let me rephrase that. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, and supposing they could stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. This portion of scripture has driven people up the wall when they're theologically so committed that they can't deviate from their thinking process. Here's the first thing that Paul talks about. He talks about people's motives. He talks about the motives of one group being that of a competition motive and the other group being a compassion motive. And lest you think that it doesn't matter, motives have no bearing, that would be incorrect because Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So the Lord, and he's the only one able to evaluate because he's the only one that truly knows the motive of the person engaged in the activity. Let me make that really clear. Somebody may say something or do something that you don't like, and that's going to happen between now and the time you hear the trumpet. And it's probably happened from the time you were in diapers until the time that you will be in diapers yet again, old, new to old to new. But only God knows specifically what all of those motives are, which in this case, only the Lord can evaluate because only the Lord has all the knowledge. And so in Lamentations 3:40, it says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. The best that we can do is be honest, self-examine, evaluate where we're at, bring it back to the Lord, and yield to him. And Paul acknowledges in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, some people were preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. And our first instinct would be, oh man, those people that are preaching Jesus out of rivalry, those people that are preaching Jesus out of envy, they should be stricken down. But that's not what the text says. They shouldn't be stricken down. They are going to be evaluated before the Lord. The Lord will be the judge, and he will determine how that goes. But from our point of view, guess what Paul says? Not from the divine point of view, from the human point of view. Yay, the gospel is preached. Yay! And you think, well, that can't be right because their motives are wrong. This is why God alone judges the motives. If somebody sincerely is in a cause and they're trying to do it right before the Lord's not unaware. He's not like going, oh, I didn't realize that. No, he knows that. It's how we respond to these things. And what Paul does is ruins the, I can't believe that person does that, let's shut that person down attitude by saying, he's just happy the gospel's being preached, even if it's a bad motive. You're thinking, gosh, how can that be? That's an excellent question, and we will answer that when we get back. So much to do, so little time. Try and enjoy it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Great job on everybody on that last trivia question. We got another trivia question heading your way. Again, if you want to text 214-210-8483. If you want to call in 972-445-0770. This is a almost sneaky trivia question. It's kind of like a halfway in between. You know what I'm saying? Like you go like halfway up. It's like not quite as bad.
Just like the intermediate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The last one was really advanced. This is light side intermediate. Okay, here you go. Here's the trivia question. God told Adam and Eve not to eat what kind of fruit? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. Or you can call in 972-445-0770. Don't, please don't, forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and don't forget, so hemustincrease.org is the, it's very important to understand the distinction. It is the place where you can give to the ministry, support it. If you can, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. We'll do our best. We'll do it all together, and that's the way it's got to be. All right, so before I get into the depth of the next part of the teaching, I got to tell you something that happened to me today. Ready? All right. Did you ever find a sound you wanted to play for this, or you want to wait and hear it?
I'm going to give it a try, but I don't.
Okay, give it a shot. I'll see if I can connect it. Okay, go ahead.
Oh.
Oh, that's not bad. Actually, play that again. That actually is pretty good. Here's what.
Oh.
Okay, so here's what happened, and I'm telling you this so that you can know how things go for me when I'm not just communicating the Word of God, but how they go in life and how, you know, the studying. We talked about that process yesterday and so on. And so here's what happened today. I'm getting ready to leave. Everything's fine. Having a great morning. Had fantastic time in the Word of God. Just wonderful. I mean, it must have been like, oh, it was a really long time. It was an hour and a half. Spent a great time in prayer. It was just really great. Awesome. I'm putting on my socks. I got a new pair of socks from Walmart. Nah, I don't shop fancy, folks. I mean, let's keep it simple. If I can buy, and I got their three pair, and the three pair they're actually pretty comfy, and they're kind of cool looking, but they were only $6. They were on sale, and they're the shorter ones that go for gym shoes. So they're like gray and black, black and gray, and then white, black, and gray. Okay, that's fine. All right. Putting on my sock today. No big deal. Putting on my shoe. Put on the sock, and I notice something as I'm putting on my right sock. There is an L on my sock. And then I look at the other sock, and the one that's on my foot on my right foot has an L, and the other one I'm about to put on has an R.
Don't.
See, that's a good play. Because now, instead of just putting socks on, now they're telling me I'm putting the wrong sock on the wrong foot because I had the L sock on the right foot and the R sock on the left foot. And now they're telling me these two socks, which are the exact same, has an L and an R, which means there's a right one to put on and a wrong one to put on. And now I have something else in my life.
No, that's not going to do it.
Yeah. I just don't even know how to handle this. It's like now I can't even just put my socks on without being told I'm wrong. Isn't that terrible? I thought you would be just like, how absurd is that? Why did you? And so I just want to go back to the manufacturer and say, switch them. Oh, I guess I could put them on. I don't want an L or an R on my socks unless they're specifically designed or custom socks. Okay. I've never owned a pair of custom socks, so I wouldn't know what that's like. But now I put my socks on and I'm wrong. This is terrible. This is not the way things are supposed to go in life. I'm just saying. All right, let's go back to this text. Very important. Paul says something that is so – when I first told this to a group of pastors that I was talking to, they got mad at me. I don't know why you can get mad at me. But here's what he says. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry and others out of goodwill. The latter do so knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, and supposing they could stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. So before I get into the false motive people who are preaching Christ, which will be the next segment, let's talk about the good people that Paul's talking about. He says the later, or those that are doing it out of compassion, they know they're doing it in love. They do so in love, and they know that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. So Paul has an affinity, a connection to those that are, in essence, preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ for the sole purpose of caring. Okay, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but if you go out to a restaurant, you go eat at any kind of restaurant, even in the COVID scenario, if you go and you eat, you can tell who a people person is and who a people person isn't by the time you get to the hostess and the waiter and the food being served to you. You know who should not be in the food business in, I don't know, 3 seconds. Because the people that are serving, sometimes you can just tell they hate people. Why are you in the people business? So you can tell, though, those people that love to, like, be a blessing to people. They love to serve people. They love to engage with people. They love to interact. And they're just so delightful. And you can well, guess what? That's true in every single area of life. You can tell who's in it and who's in it to win it because they love it. And who's not. And Paul reaches out and says, the first and foremost, talking about these two groups of people, those that do it for the right reasons and those that do it for the wrong reasons. But then he speaks up first about those that do it for the right reasons. And they say they're preaching out of goodwill. They're doing it in love. And they know that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. These are people that support Paul. They know what he's going through. It's a ridiculous charge. Everything is just absurd. It's kind of how some people accuse other people because they're Christians. But they don't support same-sex marriage. That means they're homophobic. Well, what if I'm just a Christian? I just don't agree with it. Can I just simply not agree with it? And it's like, no, you have to support it or you're an enemy of it. Okay, so I'm a Lions fan and I support Dallas, but I don't support, like, or dislike Minnesota Vikings. No, because you don't support them. You hate them. And it's like, no, I could care less about them. I actually don't care. And it's like, see, there's this problem here that people are not allowed to just, you know, support, love, and so on and so forth. And Paul talks about these ones that love him. And guess what? in your life, you've had ministers that are ministers that you can tell from the day they were born, they're supposed to be ministers, or from the day they've had their encounter with God, they should be ministers. They're full of love. They're full of grace. They speak to you. When you hear it, you just go, yeah. You kind of know what's going on. Then there's other people in the industry or in ministry that probably should never have gone in there and perhaps should have went into computer technology or something else that could have been more beneficial because they don't like people. The idea, though, is that Paul is praising those that preach the gospel because they love people. If you're going to a church and your pastor, your leadership, your servants, and by the way, when we say servants, we mean everybody who's serving in the children's ministry, who's serving in the maintenance ministry, who's serving, if you got a bigger church, who's doing the parking lot ministry, every one of those people are doing that in a volunteer capacity because they believe that they're supposed to be doing it. That is the greatest testimony because they're serving you and getting nothing for it. If you go to a church that does have somebody that's doing maintenance, they're doing the children's ministry, they're doing other ministries within the church, especially people like the traffic ministry and so on and so forth, you should just take the extra moment to say thank you because they're doing that for you because of love. I was like, wow. When Noelle and I visit a church and it's got a bigger, and I'm not trying to isolate or anything, but when we go to and you get the bigger church and there's people directing traffic, whenever we walk by them, we say thank you on purpose because hardly anybody says that. And we do that for the kids ministry, and we do that for as many ministries as we come across when we're doing that. The reason is because that thank you means a ton. They love what they're doing. They're serving. There's great people. There's great ministers of the gospel, and you should let them know that. You should tell them that. Because that is puts you in that affinity. That puts you in that connection. That's what Paul's talking about. He loves these people. They love preaching. They love sharing. They love teaching. They're able to do it fearlessly. They stand in with Paul in the defense of the gospel. I mean, it's so cool. And they just love it, and you can tell. And if you are fortunate enough, blessed enough to be in a church or a ministry or connect to a ministry, and that person is blessing you in that capacity, I mean it. You need to tell them. And I'm not talking about me and sending me a text. I'm talking about them. Tell them, especially the people that hardly get noticed. You know, some churches are large enough where they have people that will volunteer and they'll feed other people or they'll do like coffee things and so on and so forth. You should find out who that is and say thank you. Whoever's making the coffee deserves a thank you. Okay? That I say that because it's true. And that's those people that we're all connected with, and they're serving out of the goodness of their heart, and they're doing it because they love, and they're standing together. Those are the people you will be able to rely on when they start truly persecuting Christians. Those will be your brothers and sisters. So take the time and make sure to let them know how much you appreciate it, because that's the people that Paul acknowledges that are standing with him. Now, unfortunately, when we get back, we're going to deal with the other side of that equation. Not exactly the spiciest thing you want to see, but it is what it is, and I can't change it. By the way, God told Adam and Eve to eat what kind of fruit? The Bible doesn't say what kind of fruit it is. People assume it's an apple. It was probably a pomegranate, but we don't know for sure. That's why it was a little tricky there, just a little tricky. Love you guys. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just to let you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where if I don't give clarification, there could be a revolt. And so I want to make sure everybody understands. So the trivia question was, what God told Adam and Eve not to eat what kind of fruit? So from a technicality point of view, what God said in Genesis 2:17 is you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. When you eat it, you shall surely die. So certainly that you could think, well, what if that was a leaf and not fruit? That'd be a good question, except in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, it says, the man said, the woman you put here, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. So that's how you get to fruit. See, so that's I wasn't trying to. I think the question was the joke, but that, I'll just leave that there. For those that are like, okay, I want another one, fair enough. This is a straightforward one. You can either text 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. Jesus was 12 years old when he was unintentionally left behind by Mary and Joseph. How many days did they look for him? I always marvel at that story that it's like, Jesus is with the family. And then all of a sudden, what do you mean he's not with you guys? Is he with you guys? No, he's not with you guys. He's not with you guys? You know? And then you go up the line, and then you're the people that are raising the Son of God. Just thinking, that has to be a moment right there in humanity where you're thinking, ultimate fail in parenting. I mean, you just got to be like, wowzer. Okay, that's just my take. Don't get mad at me. I think it's rather humorous. Here we'll do something we have never done before on this show, ever before, and I'm going to do it for the first time, and I'm going to do another one tomorrow. I'm going to give you a book that I think is worthy of your attention. I do not think any book is worthy of any attention outside of the Bible. But if you are going to add to your library and read other books, the first book I'm going to give my personal recommendation for, not that that means anything, but if you're listening to this show, you know I've taught from it a couple of times. It is Pastor Ray Bentley's devotional book. It is called This Day. And if you want to pick up that book, just to let you know, I get zero money from it. I'm not an affiliate. There's no connection. He doesn't donate to our ministry, 000. And out of my own pocket, I bought a copy of this book today. Even though I get a copy on a daily basis, I get stuff from him all the time. And I just thought it would be the right thing to do is purchase this book. It's called This Day. And it's by Pastor Ray Bentley. And just so you know, Bentley, B-E-N-T-L-E-Y. If you have any questions, you want to get any information about the book, you're just kind of curious how to get in touch with it, let me know. I will be glad to get it to you. I don't think you can actually get this book on Amazon, which is kind of weird. I'd have to ask Ray about that. But I will send you the link that I used. It cost me, it's $16.99, and then it was $2-something for shipping. So it was $19.60-some-odd for everything. It's like, we've used this devotional on the show before. It's a good, really good devotional. It's not about theology. It's about drawing closer to the Lord. And I really have a lot of appreciation for the level of effort he put into it. Okay? This Day, Ray Bentley. Okay? If you have any questions, let me know. All right. Let's not forget our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. All right. So we have so much to cover. Loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it. I don't even have time to do the Yiddish dictionary. That's how far back we are. How about that? Eric just texted me, DNA. Don't have time. Listen to this. This will blow your mind, okay? I want you to catch this. This is really, really, really huge, okay? DNA. Of course, we draw closer to the Lord. Never be ashamed. Always be ready. All right. Had to do it. I'm so legalistic. Philippians 1, 15, 16, 17. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, others out of goodwill. We just talked about people that are great in the gospel, great ministers, great people who serve. Okay? The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Cool. Verse 17. The former. Okay, this is the other guys. So you had one group. They love Paul. Oh, Paul, he's so great. He loves us, and we love him, and it's great, and it's awesome. And the former, now he's going to go identify, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. So there's three things that Paul identifies. The first thing he says is they're preaching Christ out of selfish ambition. Okay, so what they're trying to do is they're trying to get something for preaching. Okay, so you can know how serious this is. When I first became a Christian in the first year of my faith, my grandfather, who was in World War I, came over from Russia in 18. He was born in 1898, came over from Russia during the revolution. He said, yeah, if you become a preacher, you can make lots of money. His mindset thought that that was an ambition, a selfish ambition, and that was a great way to make money. And I was like, Grandpa, I'm not doing this for money. He didn't get that because his life saw it differently. And that's the kind of people Paul is talking about when he talks about that. Do we have somebody calling in? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Part of what I understand when Paul speaks of people talking for their own profit is we're building up ourselves.
Correct.
And not just monetarily or in a position, but rather, hey, look at that guy. Look at what he says.
Exactly, like a fame.
We're all guilty of that every day.
Yes.
Even though we say we aren't, we are. No. It's hard to open your mouth without feeling some, hey, I said something.
No, I think that's an excellent
that's
point.
Difficult.
And that's the other part of this. Because these people, their motivation, it could be a financial motivation, it could be a fame motivation, it's just not the gospel motivation, their motivation that they're using, be it fame, be it recognition. And you can see how that plays out. If you look at the church, you can see that there are some ministries that have been geared really, I mean, they're almost like a worldly marketing system. And it's almost like you're like going, I'm not sure that's the idea of the gospel. I think the whole point is the gospel is the power in and of itself, not the way that you put lights and twinkly things behind it. And so I think that's a great point to make, that there it's a self-exaltation, it's a self-promotion, and that would be the key, is their hearts are not in the place of just doing it to serve, to be a vessel. And therein lies their, I think that's their great downfall, okay? What I find fascinating is where the text goes after that, because I think you might agree or you might disagree, but I would think Paul would go, these are bad people. But instead, he's like, I could care less. He goes, it's like, I don't care. I just want Christ preached. And it's like, it's a real challenge for those that think, well, I'm trying to keep my motives pure. How is it that these people get to get away with it without being pure? And the reason is because the gospel is greater than the announcer.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Given that approach by Paul, look at James, who has a striking contrast to Paul, if you want to look at it superficially. Until you actually go in deeper, you can see how they actually support one another. But most people will look at it and say, that's totally different. Paul fought with Apollos, fought with Cephas. He had revelations that were different than everybody. But they were all with the one head, Christ. Your revelation is different than mine.
Correct. Correct. That's exactly correct. And you bring up a great point, which is why part of the premise should be, look, God wrote the book. If you read that book and you come across it as a premillennial dispensationalist, or if you come across it as an amillennialist or a postmillennialist, but it's the honest pursuit, that should not be an issue of fellowship. That should be, well, this is really how I get that, or this is how I look at that, or this is how I sink into that. But unfortunately, within the church, there's a lot more flesh than there should be, and people divide up because of that, and they go into separate camps. And it's like, well, that sounds fantastic, but when they start shooting Christians, that ain't going to last.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, see how much fun stuff this is? Isn't live radio fun? Because you never know what's going to happen. All right, so, and he brings up an excellent point. I want to give acknowledgement to that. I only got about a minute left, and then I got to give you the trivia answer. But the bottom line is these people, they're trying to add trouble for Paul in an indirect way. I mean, Paul is not competing with them because he's not in a competition to grow his ministry. He's in a passion to proclaim Jesus Christ. So he's not just like, yeah. This isn't me trying to get ticket sales, folks. That's kind of his disposition. And so he doesn't have this, the former preacher Christ had a selfish and business, not supposing they could stir up trouble for me. It's not causing Paul any trouble. No sweat off his nose. And how you know that they were preaching Christ, that's the biggest key. Because whenever they're not preaching Christ, we'll get into that in the next segment, Paul goes after them with a vengeance. Here he doesn't do that, which is a very fascinating key to understanding this. All right, let me answer the question. Jesus was 12 years old, unintentionally left behind by Mary and Joseph. Bad moment for them. How many days did they look for him? The answer is three. 3 days. Okay. Excellent, excellent, excellent show. Love stuff like this. We're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I think you guys get a little bit of a feel as to why every once in a while I say, we need 2 hours. Because I am blazing through this. If you think of the Flash in a character in regards to cartoons or comic book people, I'm faster than the Flash today. I mean, I'm just, you know, literally going through it. All right. Let's see. I do want to let you know we got one more trivia question. 972-445-0770. You can call in and ask or answer a trivia question, or you can do exactly what our last caller did and ask or make a comment about any kind of thing that we're discussing. It's like it should be that way because we should be able to always talk to one another like that. And you know, there should always be that access, and we'll do our best to always maintain that. And if we run out of time, let's get more time. That would be the key. 214-210-8483 will be the text number. Tougher. Now, let me tell you when I say tougher. Tougher. Remember we just talked about that? Didn't we just say intermediate, right? You said intermediate. What did you say? You said
intermediate.
Okay, this is way up advanced.
So expert.
Yeah, we're going way up high. Okay, now listen to what I say, because if you get this wrong, it's your fault. Okay, I'm not taking the blame. Okay, I have plenty of other things I'm taking the blame for. How many men believed in Christ after Peter's second sermon? The collective number. Okay, can't say that any clearer. How many people believed in Christ after Peter's second sermon? The collective number that is referenced in Scripture. That is what I'm looking for. While you get a chance to respond to that, I do have to cover a little bit of history, only because one of these things is really critical, and that is today is National Filet Mignon Day. It's like national. I mean, come on, it's filet mignon. You got to be kidding, right? Do you ever have filet mignon with the bacon wrapped around it and all the other?
Never had it, but it sounds really good.
Oh my gosh. Okay, first of all, there are a few things I am going to have to take you to a restaurant to, and you're going to have some of the desserts we've talked about, but you have to have filet mignon. It's like the best thing. It's like butter. It's like butter. It's like meat that's like butter. It's so good.
So good.
So good. It's just so good. Today should be named every single day in the sense that it's called Blame Somebody Else Day. People have been doing that. Didn't that start in the garden? She did it. The snake did it. All right. Let me double check on this. For those that are into movies, on this day in 1942, the Walt Disney movie Bambi premiered. I just remember watching. Yay! I watched Godzilla Eats Bambi. Is the pre? You never saw that? Okay, never mind.
See, you can't tell me that. Loved Bambi.
Okay, but Bambi's a great. Just moving on now. Here's something that every single person who's listening to my voice will go, "Thank you, Lord." They will say this. Every person will say this, unless you are you've had to wean off it. The modern coffee pot was patented today in 1889. So on August 13, 1889, the modern coffee pot. And they go through some great length about talking about the boiling, and it was actually done by Hanson Goodrich. And the thing that they brought up that's extremely interesting is a multitude of the patents that followed have very little difference to the original design, which I think is fascinating. It's like, really, so like, you know, it's like 130 years ago. Yeah, we're still doing the same thing. It's like, wow. Outside of the microwave part. And then that's all you really need about that stuff. I got too much stuff to cover. Our trivia question, very tough question. I told you it was tough. I told you it wasn't going to be easy. And that is just quite simply, after Peter gave his second sermon, so his first big sermon is in Acts chapter 2. His second sermon, quote unquote, is going to be Acts chapter 3. So how many total people after that? See, Acts chapter 3, that's when he, remember the guy, a silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. Then he kind of did a proclamation sermon. How many people after that? That's what we're looking for. Let me wind down on this verse 18, which is just phenomenal in and of itself. Here's what it says. Here's what Paul's saying. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preaching, because of this I rejoice. So it's very important to understand that these people that are preaching that are not having the best of motives are not preaching something false. And you think, well, why is that? Because when somebody preached something false, Paul was all over it. In Galatians 1:6, he even said, I am astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live, the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Anytime somebody turned away from the true gospel, Paul said something. He didn't. He was like, no, that's not okay. But he doesn't say that these people are preaching a false gospel. What he's talking about is the wrong motive. And you think, well, why is it important? This is like the crux or the real important element of the message. Why is it important that Paul would rejoice that these people are preaching the gospel, either preaching Jesus Christ or preaching the gospel, but their motives aren't pure? Why is that okay? What's the deal there? There's two primary reasons why Paul doesn't care what the motive is the way that you and I would think he would. The first one is, the gospel is the tool of deliverance for humanity. It's Romans 1:16 that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The crucial element there is understanding that the power of God is in the gospel. It's the gospel message that contains the power of God, not the person. The person is a vehicle. The person is a vessel. Before you get too excited about yourself, keep in mind that God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. That's all you got to remember. It's like, wait, he used a donkey to rebuke a prophet? Yes. So therefore, the vehicle's not quite... That's correct. It's the message. And the message is greater than the messenger. I know what people have said. I've heard them. I have great respect for many of them. But they'll say, oh, the message is only good as the messenger. Not true. False. Completely true. Not true. No human being will ever be as good as the gospel message. Ever. That's why it has to be received. It can't be earned. That's why it has to be communicated and that God has to do the saving. That's why people don't do saving. God does the saving. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't live up to what they teach. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't ever get into that mindset that says, well, it's only as good as the person. No, God's message is eternal. It's perfect. It's flawless. People are full of flaws. And the reality check is that the gospel itself is the power of God. So Paul doesn't care if their motives are wrong because Jesus is being preached. And then the other part about that that kind of gets missed, and I only got a minute and a half to do this, is that when the gospel is preached, it brings eternity closer between God and man. And by that, I mean this. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The more proclamation of the gospel, the closer to the end we get. When people go, well, why witness? If people are predestined, or why people, why? And they fight about free will and predestination. I get the fight, and it's been going on for a long, long time, a lot longer than just the church. Here's the bottom line. You preach and you witness the gospel because God said so. And that's requiring, if you're demonstrating that you love God, you respond to God. And God's declaration is, look, the testimony has got to be to all the nations, and when that's done, the end will come. And you don't know when that is, and I don't know what that is, so we just keep doing that which we've been given to do. But the Lord knows when it is. And so Paul's like, preach, preach, man, preach, preach, preach. You want to have a drummer behind you every time you share a scripture? And he goes, brum. You want to have a cymbal go off? You want to have little fireworks behind you? Good. Just preach the gospel. You trying to make it a show? Yeah, you think you're adding trouble to me? This is what Paul's like. Not adding trouble to me. You're just proclaiming the one thing that can bring deliverance for humanity, and that's the gospel. And you're bringing the start of the new phase of eternity into a closer proximity. Just keep preaching Jesus. Just preach, preach, preach Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then what Paul resides in, you have to know he knows Proverbs 16:2, is that God's going to weigh the motive of a person's heart and the Lord will judge them. Okay. And all Paul's like going is preach, preach, preach Jesus, 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 go, go, go. Like a cheerleader. It's like, and you think, well, it shouldn't be that, but it is that way. Because the gospel is greater than man. The good news from God is the good news for mankind. That is the kind of the whole premise. I love this kind of teach. I love the word of God. Okay, here we go. How many people believed in Christ after Peter's second sermon? After the first sermon, there was about 3,000 men. After the second sermon, there was about 5,000 men. How do we know that? Acts chapter 4, verse 4. I wasn't trying to fool you. I was trying to give you as much groundwork as I could. And we've got to exit right here, so we're out. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.